Hi. I'm Logan. I'm an overcomer. Yep. Oh. How you guys doing? August 21st of 2021, God separated me from drugs and alcohol. And that was 781 days ago, John Featherston, wherever you're at. I know he likes the exact days, but so let's say the prayer, and it's in the left-hand bottom part of the, it's kind of our little theme prayer for this last half of the year. So I'm going to say the first part, and you guys say the rest. So Jesus is Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the church for the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Thy will be done. Thank you. So, yeah. So this message, I had a whole another one about, because you know we're in this last half of the year, the theme has been prayer, and it's, I was going to do one on like David as his kind of prayer life, and you know how he just longed for the Lord and how he strengthened himself in the midst of his prayers, and God switched it all up on me. And he really wanted this message. It's called Come Boldly. And it's not like, because sometimes I can get like a little, you know, come boldly. It's not like you're commanded to come boldly, but the heart that God had when he was kind of downloading this to me was like to tell them to please come. Like, he longs for us to come, even if it's just like 30 more seconds, 45 more seconds. Like, you can come, no restrictions. Like, please come. And so that's it, man. The page 716 in your Serenity Bible, Luke 18, 1 through 8, there's this parable here of, I'll just read it. I'm going to read it off my phone. Well, I could read it off that, but I'm going to read it off my phone. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Like, will he really find someone who's willing to pray? Like, faith is praying until God moves, not praying and hoping God moves. And so, I mean, it's sometimes prayer is just, it's just work, right? It's just, it's hard sometimes. Like in Colossians 4:12, Paul praises a dude named Epaphras because he always labored fervently in prayer. And I don't know about you guys, but I can get to praying sometimes and my ADD mind will get off on other things. And then I'll be like shaming myself because golly, I can't even focus for 5 minutes and pray. And this is all, it's hard. It's hard to sit down and do that. Plus the enemy doesn't want us to pray. And so he is going to, he's going to distract us. He's going to tell us that God is not listening. This doesn't do any good. Prayer doesn't really work. Things happen like they're going to happen. What, all that stuff, he's trying to distract and confuse us. He's trying to get us to not pray because he hates it, because he knows that it works. And, you know, when I came back after my 6-month relapse and I met two people here that walked up to me and said, "Nice to meet you. I've been praying for you for 6 months." Amen. They didn't even know me, right. You know, they just knew Jesselyn. And she was steady praying for me because I've never been able to just put alcohol and drugs down before. And I really attribute that moment that I had to all the people that were praying for me, because I'm pretty sure I didn't have too many people praying for me in the past until I came to Serenity Church. We're not always convinced of prayer's power, you know, sometimes. Me, I'm speaking for myself. I have a problem. Okay, I'm gonna try to fix it, you know, and then it's like one of Shay's last sermons. It's like, well, all we have left is to pray. All we can do now is pray. I've tried this and this and this and this and this, you know. All we can do now is pray. But just imagine if we didn't do all that carnal stuff and began with the spiritual. If we just started off with praying and praying until God moves. Because the widow, she bugged the unjust judge, you know, and that overcame his reluctance. And this is a fill in the blank. But the good news is that God is not unjust. He is just, and he has no reluctance. We don't have to overcome a reluctance. We don't have to. He is just and he is faithful. And so what I'm digging into this one, what I found was, as we pray, it's not to change God's mind, but really the prayers change me. Emmett Fox, who's like a spiritual writer, says, every time you pray, your change may be big, but most of the time, the change is small. Sometimes you don't even notice it, but nevertheless, it is there. And sometimes the change is the answer to the prayer. Amen. Sometimes I'll pray so much about something, I'll change, and I'll realize that maybe that wasn't even something that I needed, man. That's the next... fill in the blank is sometimes the change is the answer to the prayer. Did y'all already do that one? All right. Man, so much stuff with fill in the blanks, and are they in order, and how does it line up? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. yeah. So I wanted to tell a story about something I prayed a lot about. And this story is also making good on a promise I made to God when it happened. I got out of prison in 2009. 3 months later, finding myself in a high-speed chase through four counties, land in a town I've never been in before, and I go to jail. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not that big of a deal. It's just evading arrest. It's like 2 years max, you know, I could get. But this particular little town I was in had a brand new district attorney, and they wanted to make a name for themselves. And so there's this thing in Texas where if you're committing a felony, right, and there's a deadly weapon involved in the felony that can make it aggravated and crank it all the way up. Well, they said that my car was the deadly weapon. Even though it didn't hit anybody, even though no one got hurt, it did fly through the middle of this little town at like 120 miles an hour. And so I'm looking at up to 20 years aggravated, which I could do 80% of that, more than likely. And it would be at a place that, like, what I call real criminals go to, like the kidnappers and the murderers, and not a pleasant place. Like, it's like just this one little deadly weapon, no deadly weapon, could be 6 months at a trustee camp or 18 years at a max facility. It's huge, right? And so even though I didn't really know God or believe in God, I began to pray this prayer, hey, God, if you could just handle this aggravated part of this sentence, I will... tell everybody that it was you that did it and give you the glory. This is in 2009. I prayed it every day. I was in jail for 2 years, and then there was this crazy law that changed, and they allowed people on parole to bond out of jail. So I bonded out of jail. I got back on drugs. But every time I thought about it, I still prayed that prayer because it's in the back of my mind, because this is a big deal. Eventually, I'm going to have to go get this handled, you know? And it could be 2 decades of my life of misery. God, man, if you could just handle this deadly weapon part, you know, I will tell everybody that you handled it, that you did that. So I catch a break in 2015. I, you know, get some more charges in other counties, but because they gave me probation, this county agreed to give me probation, but they left the deadly weapon thing on there But they will give me probation, which means I've now pled guilty to this. If I violate my probation, there's no getting out of this deadly weapon thing because I've already pled guilty to it, and they can just pick a number and give it to me, and I have it. But I'm thinking, let's go for it, It's probation. Who doesn't take probation, right? Like 6 months later, I get violated on it, right? So now I've got all these counties that I got to get sentenced in. Now I'm really praying that prayer again. God, under this deadly weapon thing, man, please, And I get through one county and I go to prison, then I go to the next county, and then I go to prison, then I go to the next county and I go to prison, and I'm about 2.5 years in, and I got this one county, and I'm tripping and I'm praying this prayer. And I don't know. Funny thing happened. I'm waiting to go to this county, and the officers start coming into work with, this was in like April 2020, they start showing up with masks on. And we're like, what's going on? Why are y'all all wearing masks? And this COVID-19 thing breaks out. And so this is 9 years later since I started praying the prayer. The county calls my lawyer and says, look, man, we're not taking anybody in our jail. Did he get time over there? Yeah, he signed for time over. Well, just show me that he signed for time over there, and I'll just dismiss this. We're not bringing anyone in this jail. Like, he used COVID to save me from 20 years aggravated, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I'm giving you the glory. I'm telling people you did that because he had to have done that. There's no, how could you come up with that? All right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So Matthew 6:6, I don't know where it is on the slides. All right. It's on page 660. And this was a major, Holy Spirit wanted me to communicate this to you, okay? But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Amen.
And this is so important, man. This is what God really wanted me to communicate was. He wants some secret place time with all of us. He cherishes the secret place time. For a long time, I've been getting sober and relapsing for 25 years. But I never had that secret place time. And I heard a preacher the other day talking about, and I added a little bit to his quote because we're in recovery, but he's like, the warriors are not built in the pulpit, not doing good works, not building programs. I added not sponsoring people, not going to meetings, not sharing eloquently in meetings, not working steps. They're built in the secret place.
Yep.
Warriors are built in the secret place. And this is the next fill in the blank. We can be a public success, but a secret place failure. Because I can make you think that I'm good, but I can go to meetings, I can share all about the topic, but I have no secret place time with God. And in the last month, just thinking about all this, man, I've just really dove in to that, that is really what he desires. That is what he wanted me to tell Serenity Church that he desired more than anything. Was even if it's just one more minute or five more minutes or one more worship song, when it's just you and him, he wants it so bad. So you don't have to, you can come boldly because he wants you to come.
Yeah.
Let's see, where was I? Because in sobriety we can get deceived or kind of lulled to sleep into thinking, hey, well, I'm not drinking, I'm not using, I'm good. I'm not drinking, I'm not using, I'm good. But I don't have any prayer life. I don't have any faith. I'm not rooted, And I'm like that seed that gets planted on the rocky soil. I'm not rooted. It's my job to root myself. And if I'm not rooted, then the storm comes and just blows it away. And then Logan's gone again. And why is that? This secret place, he wants it. He wants it so bad. And praise and worship is another part of that. We're built to praise God.
Amen.
He created us to praise and worship him. And he really instilled that. I hope I never lose my desire to worship God. And, but you know how you can know if you have is if the only time you do it is at church.
Yeah, buddy.
But man, this last couple of weeks, man, I've been like, and he gave me an example of this. It's like I found this new worship song. I really liked it. We were leaving our small group on Thursday. We got like 30 minutes home, and we had decided, yeah, I'm off on Friday. She works from home. We're going to get home, eat, put Shelby to sleep, and let's go to the gym and work out. Okay, that sounds fun. All right. So, but on the way home, man, I heard this new song, and I was just weeping. And then a couple hours later, she gets in the car, and I was like, hey, check out this song. And I mean, it was good. It was good, but it was like, I wasn't weeping. But it was like God was telling me the next day as I was trying to write, he's like, I think this is even a fill in the blank. When you're alone with me, it's more intimate. Like he's showing me, man, cool, worship with other people, pray with other people, but I want that alone time with you. It was just different.
Yeah.
It was just intimate, man. Yeah. So the next one, man, is, it goes along with this, but it's like the scariest verse in the Bible for me, Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, is it up there? There you go. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. It's like they've done all these things. And God can still say, I never knew you. I've just been asking, God, is that me? Could that be me? Is that anyone at Serenity Church? Could that be anyone at Serenity Church? Like, what an example of a public success and a secret place failure. They're casting out demons, which we're commanded to do, by the way. They are doing signs and wonders in his name. And he says, I never knew you. Like that word knew. That word new, and I looked it up in the Greek. I think it's gnosko or something like that, but it's the same word. That's because I'm like, what is new? What do you mean, know you? It's the same word that the Virgin Mary, right, when they say she never knew Joseph. Like,
Yeah. Extreme
intimate. I'm not saying like, but she, you know, they never knew each other. They never had that extreme amount of intimacy. That's what, it's the same word. It's the same word that's used. Isn't that interesting? Like, okay, God, let's have some extreme, like, I want to know you. I want to know you, man. Like, I don't want it to come to this day and they say, hey, man, you sponsor a lot of people and you got a lot of people off drugs, but I don't know you. Like, I don't think he would have put it in there if he didn't want us to read it. And think about it. Do you know him like that? Do you know him like that, man? All right, next slide. These two go together. It's the same kind of thing. They're pretty scary, too. Strive to enter the narrow gate, for many will seek to enter and not be able to. And enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and easy is the way that leads to destruction. And many go in by it. So it's easy to get on the wide one. It's hard, and many try, but not very many get into the narrow one. And so I'm thinking about that. And I think it's the next fill in the blank. And it's like, if your walk is easy, well, it didn't really line up, but close enough. According to Matthew 7:13, you might not know him. If it's easy, I'm just saying, I mean, we say it after every meeting, we say it after every service. Are these extravagant promises?
Yeah.
Come on, this is interactive. We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we
work.
Yeah. Like, work is not easy. Taking these steps is not easy. Writing an inventory and sharing it with someone is not easy. Accepting his feedback and the truth about your life, who you really are, is not easy. Making amends is not easy. working that 10th step, continually looking for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear all the time. And when they crop up, asking God to remove it at once is not easy. And then picking up the phone and calling somebody. Man, this is what I just did. It's hard. It's not easy. This is what I was getting when it's, you know, continuing to do that. And then resolutely turning our thoughts to someone we can help. Sometimes I don't want to do that. Sometimes I want to go home and watch Netflix. That's easy. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, if your walk is easy, maybe a red flag should go off. And something I tell these guys that are incarcerated, because it's something I never did. It's in 2 Corinthians somewhere. I promise you it's in there. I don't know exactly where it is, but it says, come out from amongst them, separate yourselves, and I will receive you. Like, I would be in there, and I would go to church, and I would go to Bible study, but you'd find me at the gambling table. You'd find me betting on every sporting event on TV. If you stole some food out of the kitchen, I'd buy it from you. Like, I didn't live like I was about God, you know? And I'm trying to, and he's saying, but out here, we also need to come out from amongst them and separate ourselves, and I will receive you. And that word receive, I don't know what the Greek word is, but I looked it up, and it means to receive kindly. Imagine that. Receive means receive. But it also says to shower with favor. So it's not like he's saying, oh, all right, I guess I'll receive you. No, he's like saying, come on, it's like the prodigal son when he came back and he told his dad, I have sinned against you and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. The father didn't even acknowledge that he said that, didn't even address that. He immediately turned, put the robe on him. That gave him like status in the family, put the ring on his finger, authority. He can like conduct business now. The sandals on his feet, that's provision. That's like, you've got everything you need. That'd be like if I went and took half my parents' money and smoked crack with it and came back, they would give me a wardrobe and a credit card to the business and a car and a cell phone and then throw a party. It's crazy, but this is what he's saying. I will receive you like that. And we have to know this so that we can come boldly. Because I don't know about you guys, man, but like, I don't want to go pray to God because I just treated my family horribly, or I just went off on somebody, or I just was dishonest somewhere, I lied to somebody, I did something. And I don't know that I can come bold, but God's saying, come on, please. This is like the general message he's trying to get me to tell you guys is, please come. I don't care what you've done. Like, he wants to shower us with favor. He wants to do us like the prodigal son. And there's another verse, man, that I read. Just bear with me. It's a good one. I think it's here. Please, please be here. Yes, I found it. All right. It's in Acts 4. I read it last week. Or actually, I heard somebody preach about it, and then I read it. So let me set the stage. Peter and John are arrested. They just healed somebody. Everybody's pissed off at them, the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, and they're tripping, and they're bringing them before them, right? And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? I'm just freestyling. This is not up there. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people. Okay, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says to them, rulers of the people, of the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, then let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is the cool sentence. Now, when they saw their boldness of Peter and John, and there's that word again, boldness, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized they had been with Jesus. Amen. We don't have to go to seminary school or get a PhD in theology. Man, if we just be bold and open our mouths, people are going to marvel and they're going to know that we have been with Jesus. But we got to be with Jesus before we can do that. We got to have that time with him, man. And like when I'm in my car, dude, like the last couple of weeks I've just been, okay, God, it's me. Here I am. Just me and you. Secret place time. Just like you want me to tell Serenity Church. Here I am. What's going on? You know, like it just go there, man. But like, that is so cool. Like, they saw these uneducated people, and they were like, they knew that they had been with Jesus. If someone looks at you, do they know you've been with Jesus? Come on. All right, where am I at? I lost my spot because I was freestyling. All right, next scripture. Oh, this is fun, dude. This is the one he really wanted me to tell you guys, and y'all all have heard it before. There it is right there. Because we're trying to remove these like self-imposed boundaries of why I don't come to God with my stuff. Okay, and maybe that's just me. Maybe y'all have no issues with that. That's cool. I'm talking to me then. So there it is. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and obtain mercy to help us in our time of need. Okay, So I kind of looked like in Isaiah and stuff, like what this throne, I'm just going to read to you what this throne room where this throne called grace is at. And it's in Isaiah chapter 6. There's a picture of this throne room. Verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to the next and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. Amen. All right, this is a pretty imposing sounding place. And then there's other verses, and it talks about the elders casting their crowns before him and 100 million angels bowing, crying, holy, 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 just over and over and over again. And if you want like a one-word revelation of who God is, why don't you ask the things that have been staring at him for a billion years, and all they're saying is holy, holy. And so Isaiah, he trips out, and he says, woe is me. He takes one look at this scene and says, woe is me, I'm lost. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs off the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. I don't know that I'd come too boldly at that, but the good news is we don't have to have our mouth burned. We don't have to sacrifice any animals. We can come boldly in there because he hasn't rooted us in the law. He's rooted us in the cross. Amen. We are rooted in the cross, okay? And like, do y'all fully understand? I feel led to give like a 2-minute just like gospel message real quick to somebody. I don't know who it is, but it's like, and it's not that God so loved the world and he gave his son. All you believe in him have eternal life. That's all true. But like, do we realize that when Jesus was resurrected, according to the Bible, all of the wrath of God was poured out and absorbed in him? Like, there's not going to be another Jesus that comes around. There's no need for further sacrifice. That's somewhere in Hebrews 9. I promise you it's in there. I don't know where. But we don't have to have any more sacrifices. Christ resurrected is where we stand. Amen. Justified in front of God Almighty. That's where we get our right standing before God. Not in going to church, not in coming to meetings, not in helping people get sober, not in not cussing, not in not shooting drugs, not in... You understand? We don't come and get justified. We can't stand before God because of any good works. It's only the grace of God that's justified in the resurrection of Christ. That's how we can come. And it's so important for us to understand that, because there's no more wrath. There's no more wrath to be poured out for those who believe. It's gone. There's no more wrath. It's gone.
Amen.
And like that, the same power. This is in the Bible too. I don't know where, but I promise you, it's in there. Trust me, bro. The same supernatural, God marinated infused power that healed the wounds of Jesus and resurrected him from the dead is now at work in those who believe, in all of us who believe. That, like, in the midst of our being, deep down in here, like, the Holy Spirit of God, I don't know who this is for, the power of God is at work in our bodies, in our beings, and it's healing, and it's restoring, and it's breaking down, and it's building back up, and it's in my mind, it's in our minds, and it's fixing all the dead brain cells that I killed when I did drugs, and I can remember things better now, and it's taking old belief systems, and it's breaking them, and it's replacing them with his truth, and it's renewing, and it's restoring. And where I used to say, man, I need to go to the bar, I need to go to the dope house, I need to have sex with that person, now it's like, hey, I need to call Shay, I need to go to a meeting, I need to feed the homeless. Where does that come from? That's the power. It's the power that rose him from the dead is at work in us. It's in the Bible somewhere, I just don't know where it is. And this is also somewhere in the Bible. I don't know where it is. But not only is the power of the resurrection at work in those who believe, but also for those of us who believe, because of the resurrection, there's no condemnation for us, and nothing can separate us from Christ. So that, with all that being said, I don't even know where I am because it's not even written down here. Like, why can't we come boldly? Like, he did all of that for us. There's no condemnation for us. It doesn't matter what we do, man, because our behavior doesn't justify us in front of Christ. The resurrection of Christ justifies us, not our behavior.
Amen.
All right, where'd I go? All right. Said all that. All right, so I'm getting close, y'all. Just bear with me here. I think there's a fill in the blank. The throne is called
Grace.
It's the name of the throne. I didn't really notice that until not too long ago, but it's like, anybody ever been to the House of Blues?
Yeah. Yep.
They got blues music there, huh?
Yeah.
You can roll up in there not wondering what you're going to get.
Right.
Like, if I had Logan's House of Burgers, you would not walk in going, gee, do you think I can get a burger?
Yeah.
You'd walk in like, yeah, I'm getting a burger.
Right.
Like, that's the name of this throne. I know it's an imposing place with smoke and it's quaking and there's all these angels, but the name of it is Grace.
Amen.
This is what he wanted me to tell you guys, man. Like, he's got the grace on tap. We just have to come in there and get it. But what if I sinned really bad? What if I yelled at my wife? What if I relapsed? What if I watched porn? What if I stole 10 grand from somebody? What if I did something really, really bad? He's like, the last half of that verse says, to help us in our time of need. And he was like, when you do those things, is there any other time that you're in need? In more than that? Like, that's when he really wants us to come, man. That's when he really wants us to come. He wants us to come boldly, and we're going to be more boldly the more secret place time that we have with him. I think this is a slide. I'm not sure. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the earth, looking for someone whose heart is blameless toward him so that he can strongly support. Is that up there? Yep, there it is. It's different. That's a different translation, but like, he's looking for people whose heart is blameless towards him. And man, it was just this morning I heard this. This guy, he was talking about, I already wrote that down like a week ago, but he was talking about that, and he was like, so if God in this day and age, I know you love Google, Shay, but let's say God came down and was Googling, okay, I need a person, and I need him whose heart is blameless. Like, I don't want to run to and fro there. I just want to Google it. He would put things like person that's passionate, desperate, hopeless, that's holiness, hungry, repentance, warrior, ambassador, sold out, all in, revival.
Yeah,
like, those are the words he would type, and then he would hit enter. Like, these are the things we need to be. Page 132 in the big book says, we've recovered and been given the power to help others.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking for people to give power to. But it's not my power that I get. It's his power. I only keep it if I give it away. We have to be bold, man. We have to lose our minds and get the mind of Christ. And it reminds me of, and the band can come up now. It reminds me of that sentence right after the third step prayer on page 63. Are you writing it up there? It says, we thought well before taking this step. We always skip over this in the rooms, man. This part, like, we get to the prayer, let's pray the prayer. I don't even know what those words mean, but I'm going to start an inventory. And this is saying we need to think well before taking this step, making sure we can at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. Like, did you ever think about that in your third step? Did your sponsor tell you, hey, man, you need to think? Like, you're abandoning yourself utterly to a God that you may or may not even know exists. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Because I believe that this is why I could never really get sober all those years. And then the next sentence says, the wording is quite optional as long as we voice it without reservation. So we're abandoning ourselves utterly to him, voicing it without reservation. And I think those are the people, the eyes of the, I think that's who he's looking for. Someone that'll just sell out for him, man. And it's written right there in the big book on page 63. And I hardly ever noticed that sentence, man. So just real quick, let's all just close our eyes real quick. Take a deep breath. Let's picture this throne room real quick, man. I want you to picture this throne high and lifted up. And there's God Almighty, and he's dwelling in unapproachable light. And the train of his robe fills the entire room. And there's these elders, and they are casting their crowns before the Lord. They're on their face. 100 million angels are crying, holy, holy, holy. There's smoke in the room. Can you smell the smoke? It's quaking every time he makes a noise. And God is sitting there. First of all, man, like, dude, if this God is for us, come on, man. What could possibly be against us? And so here he is, man. So let's come before his throne now. He's telling us to draw near to his throne boldly with confidence because it's called grace. It's the throne of grace. Do you want grace? This is the place for it. Do you need mercy? I will give you that which you did not earn. Come to help you in your time of need. So let's approach his throne right now with whatever you need, no matter how big it is, no matter how deep the sin, no matter how much pride, no matter how much bitterness. Ask God Almighty for grace. Come boldly. Come boldly.
Amen.
That's it.
Thank you.